Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 430, Top of the Day to You, Steph.
Top of the Day to you.
A couple of seconds after your 15 second yawn.
I've lost it.
She's gone. I'm going to do a quiz that is a forward and like a forward tease of something that we'll be talking about next week.
It's a prequel for next week's episode.
Exactly. It's going to be so good. I'm trying to have my breakfast sandwich. Did you see what was in it?
Well, when you say breakfast sandwich, I think like bacon and egg roll. But this is truly a sandwich with just a breakfast time.
It's got a hard-boiled egg in it, therefore it's breakfast.
That's what you're making it as breakfast. Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And avocado, because you often have avocado on toast for breakfast. Mm. By you, I mean me.
Mm. Yeah, I think you could call it
just a sandwich at breakfast time.
Just okay. A brunch sandwich.
Fair enough. I'm reviewing a book sent to us from Penguin. Not a penguin, like Penguin the publisher. And it's really good. Mm. Oh, it's perfect getting ready for Easter time.
Really?
Like an Easter long weekend read.
Oh, nice. It usually rains at Easter, doesn't it?
Yeah. All right. So that's coming up. I'm forward teasing next week's review in a quiz. And we've both watched the same thing.
Yeah.
Cool.
You told me to watch it and I'm really glad you did.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, okay. You recommended it to me.
I did a little watching suggestion.
I know, it was less of a suggestion and more of a...
You should watch it.
Watch it now. Turn it on right now.
Do it right this very second. Guess what?
What?
Time for the...
news.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Right. Do you want a Buffy reboot?
Personally or just in general?
Both.
Probably more general, yeah.
Okay, well, you can't have one.
Oh.
Hulu has said, nah. They're not going to make the Buffy the Vampire Slayer reboot, which was going to have Sarah Michelle Gellar, like you have to, and she would have been executive producing it as well.
So vampires are out?
I don't really know.
They're not fitting into the cultural.
They're just saying that not now kind of thing, because a year ago Hulu's like, we need to get a pilot episode of a reboot of Buffy, otherwise it's going to be the end of the world.
Maybe the Buffy generation needs to age just a little bit more.
Okay.
For a reboot.
Okay.
Maybe they're still a little bit too youthful.
But vampires are youthful.
True. They live forever, don't they?
So I'm not really sure how long they have to wait before a vampire or a fan of a vampire is deemed a little bit older.
Do you think it's because Buffy was set in high school?
Maybe. And now are you suggesting that the people that watched it either have children about to be in high school or are old enough now to realise how annoying people
were in high school?
Yeah.
And how do you keep people who were friends in high school still together?
Yeah, that's true.
Because not everybody does that. You might have one or two, but do they all live in the same area anymore?
Maybe they all live in that library thing that they were, a lot of scenes were in.
They all went to college to become librarians. Now they're fighting over the job that's being held by a vampire and they're like, suck it, I live forever.
Vampires do.
Yeah. So no. I will suck you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
Your blood.
Can I have that, please? Buffy, the new Sunnydale it was going to be called. Riverdale,
okay, so they are
Sunnydale.
All living in.
They all are going
to. So they all can't afford Riverdale anymore. Oh. So they've all had to move to the newly built suburb that's named Sunnydale, but not so sunny because all the realtors are vampires. Uh huh.
Maybe if you talk to them, Hulu, not the vampires.
Yeah.
They might pilot this one. Good sandwich. Very good sandwich. Good idea as well.
Yeah, always.
If you're a fan of Buffy, just watch the series again.
Just start from episode one, season one.
Mm-hmm. Razzie Award winners. Do you want to talk about them? Worst picture. War of the Worlds 2025 edition. Congratulations.
Oh, I think we could probably all
How many War of the Worlds are there?
Well, 2025.
2025.
They do one every year. They're wondering why no one's interested.
Everybody wants their turn. Ice Cube won the worst actor for War of the Worlds. Congratulations to you, beating people like Scott Eastwood and Jared Leto. Jared Leto's was for the new Tron. Another Tron. Actress Rebel Wilson in Bride Hard. I don't even know that movie.
Let's be honest. Is Rebel Wilson the best actress there is? I say this quietly because I feel like
she's listening.
She'd yell at you.
She's in the neighbourhood.
She's Australian.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We all live in the same suburb. Yeah. Worst supporting actress. Worst supporting actress went to Scarlett Rose Stallone for Gunslingers, our favourite of all time, maybe. Worst supporting actor was all seven artificial dwarves.
Now like that.
That's really fun.
I will pay that.
Very, very fun. Do you want to get angry now? Be like, this is just an outrage.
What about everybody getting angry at Timely? Timely. Well, you know what? I feel like he deserves that.
That's really good.
Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
Did you hear his comments?
Go, say it.
Oh, I can't do it verbatim, word for word.
That's okay.
But he basically said...
Constitution.
He's not interested and nobody else is interested in any of the fine arts like opera, ballet, all of that.
Yeah.
And just offended an entire community of highly trained artists, essentially, and the audiences who pay hundreds of dollars a ticket to go and see them regularly. This is coming from the man who did a movie about table tennis, about ping pong. Okay. Anyway, his stats for winning the Oscar after making that comment has dropped from 76% down to 33%.
Ooh, that's got a hoit.
The best bit is the Oscars have changed one of their numbers. I don't know if it's going to be the opening number or just one of the performances. And it's going to include, you know, renowned ballerina Misty Copeland and lots of other people from the fine arts.
That's really, really good.
Yeah.
Do you also think that those people in those professions of fine arts care what Timely has to say?
I think the best bit was that a lot of like the ballet companies and the opera companies put it out on their social media and they're like, we just want to thank him because our sales have gone up.
Yes. Perfect. Well, sales have maybe going to go up. Well, I don't know how to segue this. I know. Money.
Yeah.
Mm. Fortnite have got a lot of people a bit angry, Epic Games, angry because V-Bucks, which is the in-game currency, it's going up. Your V-Bucks are not going to get you as much as you want before, previously. Now it's going to be a lot more. And everybody's really angry. So they said,
particularly the parents who are not playing it.
They're not playing it, but they're still paying for it.
The adults who pay for themselves, you can justify a bit of anger, but it's the parents. I feel sorry for them.
Okay. Fewer V-Bucks for real currency. Fewer V-Bucks in each battle pass, fewer V-Bucks in your, like, if you've got the Fortnite Crew monthly subscription.
So it's shrinkflation. Sucks.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, perfect. Yeah, so basically they said that the cost of running Fortnite has gone up a lot and we're raising prices to help pay the bills. They're kind of rich.
They're kind of rich.
Not just V-Bucks.
Is it evolving that much? Do you need that many more staff or buildings or servers?
Yeah. Maybe servers. But they have to keep changing them for the seasons, you know, the different seasons they have. So we played it for about a month. I want to say in about 2018.
I was going to say a long time ago.
And we were really bad, so we stopped because – we knew.
Well, I didn't know how to use the camera. So
do you reckon you'd be okay now that you know how to use a camera?
I don't know, maybe. I'm not good at the whole shooting business.
But there was also building that was a big part of it back then, where now I think you can go into the building and shooting one or just the shooting one.
Yeah, okay.
So we might have less.
Yeah, I didn't know how to build.
To handle.
Essentially, I just ran around hiding until I was one of the last left.
That was funny.
And then I was in deep water.
Immediately. Do you remember that time I was like, oh, look, I'm going to dress as a bush. And someone went, there's a bush. Kill me immediately. I was like, ow. Thought I was going to.
Thought that was a good disguise.
Sit there until I was number one.
I watched Roadrunner.
It's time to get into these watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Well, we got to talk about The Naked Gun.
Yeah.
That movie that was made, I think, last year.
Liam Neeson.
With Liam Neeson and
Pamela Anderson.
Pamela Anderson. And then they fell in love.
They did, didn't they?
I still am not sure if that was real or publicity, but I don't care.
I don't care either.
Were you worried that when you saw Liam Neeson, you were like, I don't remember him being funny?
Yeah, I don't think he is.
For some reason, I knew that she would be.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know he would be. Even Davide sat down and watched it, which is very unusual because at the moment, if he sits down, he falls asleep. He walked in during like one of the early fighting scenes and he just looked at me and he went, this is not like you. Why are you watching this? I went, oh, no, it's funny. And he said, oh, but it's got Liam Neeson. Like, I love him. And I went, just you wait.
Here we go.
You'll love him even more. He was really funny.
He was really funny.
He was so dry. He was perfect.
And it didn't feel like it had to have there was no feeling that, oh, we've had to evolve because so many years after the originals, they were like, no, we're gonna do the comedy that is in the originals because that's what you want.
The exact same comedy.
And it's exactly what I wanted. They were absolutely right.
It was exactly, and you could see some of the jokes happen right before they happen and you're already laughing.
I loved it.
Like, just such low humour. But still made you chuckle, like where he was like, here, take a chair. And she's like, no, thanks. I got a lot at home. I saw it happen before it happened. And I was already laughing. I was like, this is Naked Gun. This is
throwback. So he is the son of Leslie Nielsen.
Yes.
This character.
Oh, and there's a great joke. Like everything has a joke. They didn't pass up any opportunity.
No, they just went
but
for
it. He's like takes a knee in front of his dad. Dad in inverted commas, his dad's portrait in the police. And then it pans out and there's just this corridor of men kneeling in front of portraits.
Including this one guy who's kneeling in front of, what's his name? I've forgotten. The bad guy. The bad guy.
O.J. Simpson.
With the gloves, O.J. Simpson. And he goes, nah, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, the look on his face, he looks directly to camera and he was like, no.
It was really good because I like the fact that they didn't pretend that he didn't, that the bad guy never existed.
Yeah.
They just were, here he is.
Yeah.
And we're moving on.
We're moving straight on. And we're going to make a joke of it.
So good.
The jokes were laugh out loud, hilarious. And it, like you said, it wasn't a evolving. It was spot
on. What you wanted.
Naked Gun. It was perfect. Even the final credits, did you see? It was the old cop car part.
Yeah, that's right. And it was the same.
I think it was the original.
Yeah. It looked like it, didn't it?
And then it like bled into Liam Neeson. He's driving like, you know, the equivalent of a Tesla self-driving. And he's on the sidewalk crashing into people. And he wakes up and he's like, what are you all doing? It's so funny. I think I'd watch it again. Like I could watch it today and still be laughing at it. Yeah.
Do you think the kids would like it?
I don't know if they'd get all the humour just yet because there's so many play, like puns.
Yeah, that's true.
Really funny.
So good.
Pamela Anderson was really good.
She was amazing.
She was absolutely amazing.
It's funny she met my expectations.
Yeah.
See, I was worried about this one because I had heard Ben on the MinMax podcast talk about it last year. Like, he loved it.
Yeah.
Like, he just would not stop talking about it. It was episode after episode. You're like, he's still talking about it.
Yeah,
stop talking about it.
As well.
And I was like, oh, It sounds like it's funny, but it's probably, you know, just fine. But it was funny.
It was really, like, I was cracking up.
So fun. Oh, it was such a feel-good thing to watch as well. Like, you finished and obviously you were smiling and laughing, but you're like, yeah.
And it was like, put your phone down, don't play your solitaire game, you know, scroll social media. It was put it down and truly enjoy and chuckle the whole way through.
Behave yourself. Yeah. I'm going to give it 10 naked guns out of 10.
Yeah, right. Totes.
Same? Okay. Sick, bro. I read a book this week, thanks to Penguin, because they sent it to us. And I stole it before you because I thought this is one that you would like.
Yeah, totally watch that.
Watch it. She's going to watch it. Watch the book. Candace Fox's new novel, Red Belly Crossing. So there's a murder at a country pub.
Yeah.
Upstairs, you know, like in accommodations.
Yeah.
This happens within the first 3 seconds, three pages, I'd say it was all done.
It's the gripping opener.
It so is. And then there's a cop from the city and a cop from the area.
Yeah.
And they both have to work together.
Yeah, and they don't like each other.
Because they're brothers.
Oh.
So there's history.
Oh, it's like that show, the Stan show. You know, that was filmed in Australia.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Less funny, though, because the Stan one was quite funny. This is great. I'm telling you, I reckon I got through the first 100 pages in less than a day, and I was doing other stuff as well.
Yeah, nice.
So this is why I was talking about,
she's,
you know,
a page turner.
She really is. The Easter long weekend coming up soon, this you'll be able to take with you on your holiday or just if you're hanging around.
Can I ask a question, though?
Yeah.
Has it got snakes in it? You're not going to give it away, are
I'm not
you?
Gonna give it away. But I understand why you're worried because there's one on the front.
Yeah, and it's called Red Belly.
Yeah, but you could go out the back and there'd be a red belly. Well, there was once.
Yeah.
Slithered right over the back doormat here, not in the book.
I didn't know that.
Really?
I didn't know that.
It was last year.
How
was
big
reading.
Was it?
Oh, about a meter. I was reading my book outside, not that book because it wasn't written yet.
Well, it might have been.
Yeah, it might have. Who knows? And I saw the cat. She was like chasing something and I went, what have you got? And I went, Gah! And I grabbed her. I threw her inside and she was like, what the hell? And I was like, what am I going to do? So I went and got steel cap boots and then I went, what am I? Well, what now what? I've just got steel cap boots on. Then I went.
Don't you stamp to like scare
them? Yeah, I did a lot of stamping, got the hose and hosed that whole area for a good 10 minutes. And then the next
day. Where'd it go? Oh, my gosh, I don't know if I want to know.
Down and down, which is where the
bush
is.
I knew we found a dead baby one on the driveway.
Well, that was.
We don't know if it was a bird.
That was Ruby who found it and she claimed that. Do you remember?
Yeah, she claimed it, but we can't quite believe.
Because it was in rigor mortis. She had not caught it. She just found it.
She found it.
I reckon that one was a kookaburra.
Yeah.
Lots of kookaburras around here. Anyway, good book. Really, 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 really page-turny. I got through it so fast, I can't even tell you how superior I felt compared to other people who read books. I was like, I read that fast. You're reading War and Peace? Well, I've already finished this one.
Yeah.
Slow. What else have you watched?
So I watched something very short, so very digestible, but I watched an episode of The 7:30 Report, which is an ABC program.
Classic.
Classic program. You can get it on iView. Now, when I say only a short one, because I was really only interested in one segment of this particular episode, and I think I might get the date wrong, but I think it was Thursday the 5th of March. So if you're going back to look for it, it's that one. But it is where they interview the French woman, Gisèle Pelicot, who was famously...
Oh, is she the one that had the dodgy husband?
She had the dodgy husband who subjected her. I don't want to use the word, but
so
the word
gross.
Absolutely exists. But he subjected her to, for a very, very long time, multiple, I'm talking over 50 men were charged and convicted of doing horrific things to her after her husband drugged her and then would advertise on social media and on chat rooms and things for men to come and do awful things with her. Where it became landmark was obviously the number of defendants, but she waived her right to anonymity by having an open trial. And in doing that, she waived their right to anonymity. And so they all had to be there as well. And she was like, well, I have to essentially do it to my husband. It was an incredible interview because I have only read, I guess, the court write-ups from, you know, newspapers and things like that. But hearing her actually speak after it's all happened was really, really moving. And I would say for anybody, whatever age you are, go and have a watch of it because she's so eloquent in how she describes things and has these thoughts and opinions and feelings that you wouldn't necessarily think she would be thinking like that. Like when she found out was because she knew her husband had been arrested, she was called in by the police and the police told her that she was a victim.
Did the police assume that she knew?
Yeah. And she had no idea because she was drugged and he used to take videos of it. So when they confiscated all of this stuff, and he was arrested for something different. He was upskirting women on public transport or, you know, public places. So she thought he was arrested for that. And when they've gone in to arrest him and they've confiscated all of these materials, the police found all of this stuff with her in on it. So being told like that, and then she had to be the one that had to go and tell her children. And she said it was so remarkable the difference in the way they all accepted the information and wanted to do going forward, that her children immediately just wanted to disown him and throw anything out that was of value to him to hurt him and all of that. And she was like, I didn't, because I was a person who fell in love with him and she saw him as two very different people. Isn't that interesting?
Conflicted.
So conflicted. But I wouldn't say that she's a soft victim. I feel like she is a victim who 100% has fought back, but very interesting to hear her side of the story. It's only a short segment, but I would say it's worth
having. How'd you find out about it?
I saw on the ABC Instagram that they were advertising it. And I thought, oh, I'm going to get onto that. So I watched it on iView. Really interesting.
She's speaking in English?
No, she's speaking in French.
I don't know. I was just interested. It doesn't matter, but I was just.
Yeah. So it's translated.
That sounds like an eye opener for sure.
Very interesting.
I have also watched something, but I don't want to talk about it this week.
Okay.
And the reason I don't want to talk about it is because we've had a lot we've already spoken about.
Mm.
But there is a show that is HBO? Yeah, HBO called Rooster. We were talking about it when we were talking about the stuff that's coming up in March to watch. Yep. This is the one with Steve Carell. It's a comedy series. They're releasing like one a week. And I thought, well, I've watched it, but I think I'm going to wait just to have a little bit more that I've watched of it to talk about. But I thought, how am I going to tease this for next week to get Carryover Champion listeners to listen? And the answer is a Steve Carell quiz.
Nice. Am I the carryover champion?
You're always a carryover champion because I reckon I've also done a Steve Carell quiz before.
I have a feeling you might have as well.
But that's okay. We're going to go through.
That doesn't mean I'm going to get anything.
No, you're not going to get. Oh, you might. Who knows? We'll see how you go. But I'm going to try and pick ones that are a little bit different.
Okay.
Because I feel like if I did it last time, I would have picked the
obvious,
really obvious ones.
Oh, no. Now I'm not going to get anything right. What's your favorite Steve Carell movie?
Anchorman.
Mainstream.
Very mainstream.
And are you not going to ask me mine?
What's yours?
I can't believe that. That's so rude. Date Night with Tina Fey.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's a really good one, huh?
An inside look at the lives of people who help America wake up in the morning, exploring the unique challenges faced by the team. It's a series.
Oh. Is he in Morning Wars?
Oh.
Morning Show?
Yes, I did. Morning Show. Well done.
Thanks.
Well done. Of course, the the big stars in that. Well, they're all big stars. Yeah. You've got
Jennifer and Reese,
who was your theme last week.
Yeah.
You could do a Jennifer one. That'd be fun.
A Jennifer theme.
Yeah.
Yeah. She did all those fun romantic comedies.
My favorite one is the one with the ferret. Remember?
Nah.
With Ben Stiller.
Oh, wait. Didn't they do a couple? Is that Along Came Polly?
Oh, maybe they did. Yeah, Along Came Polly, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I could watch that one again.
We're really muddying this waters.
Back to Steve Carell.
Back to Steve Carell. I'm trying to pick something that's not too difficult, but okay. Ah, will you remember the name? We'll try. We'll see how we go. Because I look at things and I go, will I remember the name?
I mean, chances are I won't.
See how we go. A middle-aged husband's life changes dramatically when his wife asks him for a divorce. He seeks to rediscover his manhood with the help of a newfound friend, Jacob, learning to pick up girls in the bars. Oh. Do you want me to tell you who else is in it?
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling, Julianne Moore.
Yeah. I know this Emma Stone.
Yeah, see, I just...
What's it called? I forgot that the wife asked for a divorce. I'll be honest about that bit.
It's three words.
Three words.
First one is crazy.
Crazy about you.
Crazy
stupid love.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Good job. That one was in 2011.
I didn't like as much as I thought I was going to.
Because of the cast, you were like, oh, I'm going to love this. And
Yes. I think it was the storyline I didn't particularly enjoy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sometimes those don't have the greatest storyline, but you've already watched it because you're like, oh, I love the cast.
Yes.
Like, it's going to be like a rom-com kind of.
The trailer was amazing because they picked out all the good bits.
Of course. Goaded by his buddies, a nerdy guy who's never done the deed.
40 years. Got excited and my mouth couldn't keep up.
40. I'm not been counting. I feel like we've done three.
I've done three correctly.
Okay, great stuff. You're good at counting as well. A mockumentary on a group of typical office workers.
The Office.
Yes. Have you watched much of The American Office?
No, I have not.
I've done it a little bit occasionally, but I always drop off.
I think...
It's fine.
My personality is that if I really enjoy something, I get a bit nervous about watching something about that or something slightly different using the same theme because I'm like, oh, I love the first one.
Yeah, I'm hearing you with that one. A comedy revolving around an author's intricate bond with his daughter set against a backdrop of a college campus. There's one episode that I've watched. I've watched one episode so far.
Oh, sorry, Brewster.
You knew I was going to put it in there.
No, I didn't. I'd forgotten completely.
Really? Okay, fair enough.
I'd also forgotten that it was about a college professor.
That's fine. I mean, you didn't watch it, so.
I'm really impressed I remembered the name, though.
Oh, okay. This, I didn't know he was in. This is a long time ago. This is from 1991. Oh. I mean, this is from about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
A homeless man and his young companion who survive by conning people meet a woman who may need them even more than they need her. So the young companion is a girl and she has long curly hair.
Yeah.
And it was very popular back
then. Curly
Sue. Yes. Apparently he's
in
that.
He was in that.
He wasn't the main guy. No. I was just really interested. John Hughes wrote and directed that.
Yeah, I could imagine that.
Do you want one more?
Yeah.
Okay, because you're just such a Steve Carell head.
I'm winning this.
Mm-hmm. You sure are. Should I do a scroll up or down or somewhere in the middle of his career?
I don't care.
Okay.
Not too early because I don't think I'll get them.
Fair enough. I've got one. For fun-loving party animal Ben Stone, not played by him, the last thing he ever expected was for his one-night stand to show up on his doorstep 8 weeks later to tell him she's pregnant with his child.
Who's the girl in it? Catherine Heigl?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Knocked up?
Yeah, nice work.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Not only are you a Buffy fan,
Yeah.
A fan of really bad movies and performances.
Yeah.
You're fired up about all of those V-Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Frinkflation is what I was going to say.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, frinkflation. It's the worst. But you're also a fan of that and legitimately a fan of Naked Gun.
Yeah. Big fan.
What was the name of the third Naked Gun movie? Do you
33
remember?
And a third.
Such a good name, isn't it?
But what's this one called? It's got a different
name.
It's
just called The Naked Gun. Okay. Yeah. Because if you put a "the" in the at the beginning, then
makes it new.
Yeah, you've reset it. On that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
You're welcome.